Focus on Open Science. The purpose of these short interviews is to introduce the concept and values of the Open Science agenda to new communities. The interviews can be seen as an introduction to the disruptive change which Open Science brings. The interview partners will offer a glimpse on Open Science core elements from the perspective of libraries, open access, research data management, e-infrastructures and citizen science are deeply interconnected and form a building block that represents a future role for libraries. My name is Martin Castana. I conducted the following interviews at the Open Science Workshop, which was carried out at the University of Vienna in late 2017. Dr. Paul Iris, historian, open science expert on open science.
So open science is a different way of looking at research and education and engagement with society. And what we mean when we say open science is, well, first, it's not just science, physical sciences, biological sciences. It's knowledge, it's research, it's learning, it's everything. And open means changing the way that you do things, being more relevant by engaging with society and making the whole research process, the education process and the outputs, the books, the articles, the conference proceedings, all these available to as wider audience as possible with no cost as a barrier to use. Well, the reason probably is that some academic areas don't have a tradition, or this tradition of openness and a sharing, because in arts and humanities, the traditional model for research was the lone scholar working on their own for 20 years and producing a book, which is the best book in the world on a particular subject. And that has been the traditional model for arts and humanities. With that kind of model, there isn't a place for sharing because you're working on your own for so long. Open science is about working in teams, about project work, working together. So a story I gave this morning about the Transcribe Bentham project, where we're engaging with members of the public all over the world to transcribe historical manuscripts from Jeremy Bentham. That's a new way of doing history. There is an opportunity and opening for sharing and reuse. My historian in UCL was of the old school. He will, along with everyone else, see the benefits of moving to the new model. But that will take some time.
So there's a generation gap we have to face and we have to overcome.
There's a gap. It may not be age-related. I don't think it is age-related. But there is a gap between the traditional way of working in some subject areas and the opportunities that open science, open knowledge can bring. So the European Open Science Cloud is one of the major projects that are being supported by the European Commission and the member states. And it is about creating, on a mega scale across Europe, a shared working environment where anyone who's interested in the outputs of research and education can freely access them and make them available. That means that we have to interact with the cloud in a number of ways as a provider of material, so publications in the traditional sense, research data, the building blocks on which those publications are based. We have to develop our skills and the skills of the research community and the educational community across Europe to be confident in knowing how to make those outputs available. And then everything has to be funded. We have to find the funding from Horizon 2020, from Framework 9, from existing funding streams in the member states in order to join up all the infrastructure that we have to make it one transparent research environment for research and for teaching and for society. Ten years from now. Well, when we started talking about open access to publications about 10 years ago, everybody said, oh, no, this will never happen. It's far too difficult. It's such a change. But here we are, 10 years on, open access to publications is embedded in, it has, that is part of the cultural change to open science that most academics would recognise. So we have got open access as the accepted norm, and the European Commission's ambition is that all publications will be open access by 2020. That's ambitious, but it's certainly something we should aim for. So if you can do that over 10 years, there's no reason why we can't make bigger strides in open science over the next 10 years. And I think the way to do it, to be honest, is to get everybody in the room who has been listening to the papers and presentations here today to sign up to a series of actions that they undertake in order to deliver open science approaches. So if you're a library, I'm suggesting you take a leading role in changing the culture in your institution towards accepting open science. And libraries can take a leading role in training to develop skills and knowledge amongst their researchers in order to be happy with open science approaches. If you're a publisher, you can change your business model because the subscription model is dead. And for monographs, it's already clear from the examples we heard about UCL Press, my open access press in UCL today, that the future of monograph publishing is open access monograph publishing. The average sales figures for a research monograph from a commercial press are around 60 to 100. They don't sell more copies than that as a rule. As I showed in my talk today, with open access research monographs available to anyone, anywhere in the world, with the ability to download from an internet connection, our monographs are getting thousands of downloads in every country in the world. And that's a complete change in the way that research monographs are disseminated and the impact that they make. So publishers need to get wise, smell the coffee, as we say in English, and change the way they do business. Otherwise, they'll be left with no business at all.
You as a historian and the open science community that you're a big part of, how do they correlate? You are a student or a scholar of Reformation.
Sure.
And how do they correlate? Is there a question you are participating in each of them? And where is the correlation between the open science okay. activities of you and the researcher?
Well, that's an interesting question. And I usually answer it by drawing a historical parallel. So in the late 15th century, when Gutenberg invented movable type printing in the West, he changed the way, he didn't realize it at the time, but he did change the way that Europe understood itself and what it saw as its future, because the reformers, particularly the Protestants, used the printing presses to get their ideas out there. And the reformers had a version of citizen science as well, because not everybody could read by any means. So how did the man and woman in the street get access to these ideas? They listened to the preacher in the pulpit. That's the importance of preaching in Protestant Reformation. And that completely changed the view that Europe had of itself. I'm arguing that in the 21st century, exactly the same future lies there for Europe in open science. If we can advance in all the areas that we're talking about today, open access, open research data, citizen science, and develop the underlying skills that will help us deliver that, Europe can take a lead in having a truly democratic and inclusive society which is driven by knowledge and the quest for truth. That's what happened in the 16th century, and can happen again.